that song. Let's continue to pray for our children's ministry and our boys and girls. And who knows, next time they come up to sing, there might be a couple more or four times more or whoever. But we'll keep singing. We appreciate them so much and taking the time to sing. And I think one of the couple of kids went home and said to their grandmother, "We're in the children's choir now." So they were all excited here a few weeks ago. So it's so good to hear the kids get excited about that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then our choir will sing for us. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for those who are visiting with us this morning for the first time or some for the first time in a long time. Pray that they would be blessed, they would be encouraged, they would be challenged, and they would enjoy their time of fellowship with us here at Harvest. Help us, Lord, as a church family to be prepared to worship and to minister to one another. And then later when the Word of God comes, may we be prepared to open our hearts and our ears and our minds, Lord, to thy word, that we might be challenged and encouraged and strengthened, and that we might be obedient and responding as you speak to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
He does. Does anyone
Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And once again, thank you for your obedience unto the Lord and your generosity into giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering. Brother John Draper, would you pray for us, please?
Much for this day. Truly, thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this church. We just thank you for all those that are here, and we're looking forward, Lord, to the message that we receive. Pray your blessings upon our pastor, and that the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to each one of our hearts. Thank you now for this offering, Lord, that we be able to give back a small portion of what you so bountifully bless us with. We praise you for it, and thank you in Jesus' name.
For those of you who are visiting with us this morning, the church has a history of the men coming forward before one of the last songs and before the special music and preaching to pray for their pastor as their pastor prays for them and the church. And I am grateful for the men of Harvest. I'm grateful for any man who loves the Lord and will stand for God. Amen. Let's go before the Lord and ask God's blessings upon our service as we pray for one another. Father, as we come before thy throne, we do praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for the privilege. Father, and help us not take lightly that we live in a land where many things that we feel are slipping, but yet, Father, we still have a building to go to worship and to fellowship. We are protected from the rain, from the heat. Lord, in a comfortable building, air conditioning and padding pews and seats. And Lord, help us not to take those things for granted. But Lord, help us to be ever thankful and praise you and glorify you for the things that we do have. Father, help us not to be too comfortable in that which we have, but help us to be ready to serve, to fight as needed as we resist the devil and his minions. And help us to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would bless our men. Help them, Father. Give them clarity of thought and mind and speech in their life. Protect their eyes. Guard their ears and their thought life and their feet as the places they go to. Help them to be the shining example for the Lord Jesus. Help them to be the leader at home in their community as well as here at their church. Bless them, use them, encourage them as they encourage one another. And as a more mature men in Christ mentor and encourage the younger men, Father, help them to be steadfast in that. Father, thank you for our ladies and those who help throughout our church and children's ministries and in the nursery, Father. We're so grateful for their labors of love. Bless our ladies as they strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman, as they strive to serve their family, their church, and their community. Love them, bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them in that which they do. Father, again, thank you for those who work behind the scenes, whether it be teaching a class, working in the nursery, having a security duty, or whatever it may be, cleaning the facilities, so many things that take place behind the scenes through the week in preparation for the Lord's Day. And I thank you for your servants who are willing to do that. And then, Father, I pray that you would help me this morning Give me clarity, thought, mind, and speech. Help me to put away the cares and concerns of the world as we prepare to preach in just a few moments, Father. Help me to be totally yielded to you. And Father, I ask if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged and struggling in some way be comforted, be challenged. And Father, to be quite frank, may that Christian who's maybe too comfortable, Father, may they be moved and challenged to evaluate their walk and their life for Christ and what they can and should be doing. Father, help me. But Father, most importantly, may it be said today about Harvest Baptist Church that the Lord Jesus was glorified and lifted up, and God's people obeyed the Spirit of God as they moved in the midst of us. Now, Father, bless, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to know.
Michelle. Tell you, I'm blessed. I still think I married up when I got married. Yes. I trust you have your Bibles this morning. We've read our text, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about the victorious Christian has faith in God as we continue with our series on the victorious Christian. You cannot be a victorious Christian and not have faith in God. You're going to struggle. You're going to have some difficulties. And Michelle and I were blessed. We met in Bible college, and we had a pastor that every single time he stood in the pulpit, he would say, "Have faith in God." And I made reference to Dr. Lee Robinson with a black double-breasted suit and how all the young preacher boys went out and wanted to have black double-breasted suits. But he would often say, "Have faith in God." You know, the very last message he preached before he went into eternity, he was 97 years old. Wasn't pastoring, but he was still preaching and traveling in evangelism and doing what he could to do. 97 years old, still saying, "Have faith in God." Last week, we closed with a thought. We are to display faith in God. We talked about having love for other Christians, having love for God and His Word. And today, as I mentioned, the title is simple: A Victorious Christian Has Faith in God. And just to make it a little shorter, simply put, do we have faith in God? As I mentioned, while in Bible college and being encouraged and challenged by hearing Dr. Lee Robinson say that week after week, there's no doubt I have learned myself. It's one thing to say have faith in God, but it's another thing to live a life of faith in God. We know the old saying, easier said than done. But quite frankly, if you think about it, if we just rest in Christ, He makes it so easy to live that way because He is in control. He is the master of the universe. He is the creator of all things. Nothing happens without Him. The Bible tells us he reached out and hung the world on nothing. And therefore, we can have faith in God. So we're going to look at several reasons. Well, just three. We don't want to have too many. I know some of you say, well, it's a lot easier. We just take a bite or two or three and chew on it for a little while, then we'll pick up some more. So just three of those this morning. Simply, number one, faith in God leads to a home in heaven. Boy, that's the most important thing. Having faith in God leads to a home in heaven. See, those without Christ are uncertain about what will happen to them after death. Some even believe that death will end it all. Beloved, eternity begins after death. See, you don't have to go to heaven if you don't want to. And you don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. However, you can't stay here because you're going somewhere. So do you have faith in God? Do you know Him? A lot of people right now, with the events that took place and the assassination of Charlie Kirk lately, people are talking more about eternity. Have you ever lived a time, and some of you are older than I am, that you heard the gospel more on TV than you did the last week? I'm grateful for that. I hate that what took place. But still, the important part is having faith in God. Where will you spend eternity? And as believers, we have that comfort to know that we have put our faith and trust in Christ. We know where we'll spend eternity. But dear friend, what you decide about Jesus will determine your eternal destiny. Reject Christ and you will spend eternity in hell. Not my words, that's what the Bible says. Have faith in Christ and your faith will give you victory over life and death, or in the fear of death. See, God has given us the Word of God that gives us hope and that gives us joy. The Christian is promised eternal life and a home in heaven because of our faith in God. John tells us in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." See, we know where we are going because of God's promises. John chapter 14 talks about one of those promises in verse 1. Let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Dear friends, Jesus takes the sting out of death. Faith in God leads to a home in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 44 through 47, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, I know where I'm going, and that gives me hope and helps me live a life of victory. There may be some out there this morning listening to me here in the auditorium or somewhere through the internet. You might say, "Well, preacher, I don't even know where I'm going for lunch today. How am I going to know where I'm going to spend eternity?" Simply put, have faith in God. The Word of God explains it and lays it out very clearly. Beloved, are you prepared when death comes your way? See, the hope that Christ gives to the Christian gives peace when we are at death's door. Right before he was buried at the stake for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me nothing but good. How shall I curse him, my Lord and my Savior, at death?" D.L. Moody cried, This is glorious. Earth is rescinding. Heaven is opening. God is calling me." Why, they had faith in God. They knew that where they would spend eternity. How sweet peace that God gives to the believer when death comes knocking. But fear grips the soul of those who are on death's door and do not know the Lord. I am so glad that I have no doubts. I have no doubt. Matter of fact, I'm more sure that I'm going to heaven than I know where I'm going for lunch today. I know whom I have believed. I know that I'm secure in Christ. But you know, even the infidel, even others who have denied Christ for many years, face even at death sometimes the realization of how real God is and how they've lost and left a faith that they could have had. The infidel Votar said with his dying breath, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell." The Chancellor of England, Sir Thomas Scott, said, "Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." What a way to live your last dying breath. Boy, I'm so glad that I know where I'm going through eternity because I have faith in God. Number two, not only faith in God leads to a home in heaven, but faith in God leads to a relationship with God. Yes, dear friends, a relationship, and I trust you're developing and working and wanting that relationship to grow. See, faith in God gives us victory over loneliness and insecurity. When we become a child of God, we belong to Him. We are never alone, and that is God's promise to His children. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, in the second part of verse 5, the Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." See, the relationship with God is what helps us grow in Christ and serve Him with all of our hearts. Our relationship with God helps to live victory as we follow the Lord's leading and seek to do His will. You see, following Christ is crucial for becoming a victorious Christian. Struggle in your life, having some difficulties, having some questions, maybe having some doubts. Let me ask you, how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with Him? When's the last time you talked to Him? When's the last time you opened the Word, allowed Him to speak to you? The closest relationship that we have in life should be God. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandchildren. But boy, do I love my Jesus so much more. I think my wife would have it no other way. And I would have it no other way with her than her wanting to. And I've told you many a times in the morning, I feel neglected for just about a millisecond every morning. Because I say, "Good morning. I love you." And she says, "Give me my coffee and leave me alone." Because it's Jesus' time now. It's not your time. And just for a millisecond, I feel a little rejected, but I know, and I can walk away. I said, boy, it's good to have a, a godly wife. He wants to be a Proverbs 31 woman. He wants to be a righteous, virtuous woman. And dear friend, that comes with having faith in God and leads to a relationship with Him. See, a religion without Christ establishes no relationship with the Lord at all. Religion is ritualistic. It is empty. It is vain. But salvation is not earned. It is not based upon a merit-based system. A recent survey showed about 71% of Americans think works are required for salvation. Dear friend, that is, there is only one way to heaven. If it was a work salvation, I would live my life in fear and trepidation, wondering, did I do enough? I'm so glad it's all on Him, as I have faith in Him. Dear friends, we are not saved by faith and works, but by faith that does work. Let me say that again. We are not saved by faith and works, but by a faith that works. I am so glad that my faith that I put it in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is which helps me know that I have a home in heaven, that helps me as I grow and build a relationship with God. You see, Jesus made it very clear that He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way, no matter what men may say. John chapter 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, if you know the Lord Jesus, and you put your faith and trust in His finished works, you've repented of your sin, let me tell you something, you'll see and you'll have a desire to work and labor for the Lord, because you just can't help it when Christ lives in you. You want to serve, you want to be involved, you want to share it with others, you want to work and fellowship and be around others. Dear friends, our faith in God pleases Him. Faith in God should be a priority in the heart of any Christian. Let me ask, dear friends, is your faith pleasing unto God? Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith in God leads to a home in heaven. Faith in God leads to a relationship with God. Beloved friends, how is your relationship with God? And I know I've said this 100 times. I'll say it 100 more times. It was brought up in Sunday school twice. But the bottom line is, you want your relationship with man to get better? Gentlemen, you want your relationship with your wife to get better? Ladies, you want your relationship with your husband to get better? Make sure it's right this way first. Make sure it's right this way. Because I tell you, when it's right this way, we're walking with God, we're doing what God would have us to do, serving as we should, it makes it so much easier. The Bible tells us He maketh even the enemies to be at peace with us when we're walking and living for Christ. They may not like our way. They may not like what we have to say. But oh, how it's encouraging to hear someone say, well, I don't know if I agree with them. But I tell you what, he believes what he says he believes because he lives it in his relationship. Number 3, have faith in God. Faith in God leads to a purpose for living. Having faith in God leads to a purpose for living. So you might be thinking, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What am I supposed to do? Dear friends, without purpose, many just drift through life. They're just not sure which way to turn, which way to go, who to turn to in times of trouble. They waste their time and their resources. Emptiness and dissatisfaction discourage the heart of many. They feel like life is a waste and nothing has meaning. Some live in despair and don't want to go anywhere to do anything anymore, so they just end their life. Dear friends, we live in a time today, in our world today, not just here in America, but across the world today, where so many people just do not know what their purpose is for life. They don't understand. They feel they don't have a purpose. They're looking for things and have no idea what it is that they're looking for. And that is why it's so important for the Christian to not only just have faith in God, but realize the purpose that we have in our service for the Lord. People need to see what we have and recognize the difference. I may have shared this illustration before, I can't remember, but I remember the very first time that I taught children's church. It was a challenge. In fact, I'll be honest, it was a disaster. If they were potty trained, we had them all the way up to 11 years old. We had some Sundays we'd have 20, 30 kids in a class overseas in Germany. As I served with the military, and Michelle and I worked together. Michelle would sing songs with them, and I would teach a Bible lesson. They did great on the music part. They were ready to sing out loud and be loud. The pastor got encouraged. He loved to hear the kids singing in the other room. And then I get ready to teach, and sometimes, as I mentioned before, keeping the attention of the three-year-old and then keeping the attention of the 11-year-old, I was doing this all the time, up and down. It was almost exhausting. And then one day, they were extra special rambunctious. I think it had something to do with the songs they sang with Miss Michelle. I don't know, but they were all geared up. And I thought, what am I going to do to get everything back and get their focus? And I reached in my pocket, and I had a piece of peppermint wrapped in plastic. So I got my hand, and I turned it around and made an extra lot of noise, wrapping and unwrapping and just making noise, and they couldn't see it. Everybody got quiet, and they was wondering, what is that? What's Brother Cook got? What is it that he's got there behind it? What's making all that noise? And then I put it back in my pocket. I said, do you want to know what it is? Yes, yes. So I tell you what, after the lesson, I'll show you what it is. And whoever sits up the best and is the quietest, I'll do my, I don't have enough for everybody, but I'll try to pick one, and maybe I'll have something extra special for someone, others that may be there, if you'll listen for the next 20 minutes. Boy, they got attention. They sat up and they were listening. They were golden for the next several minutes. The key was, I got their attention. Their curiosity was up of, what did I have? Dear friends, do others watch and observe our life? Does your curiosity pique for the unsaved and wonder what it is that you have that gives you such peace, that allows you to have such great faith in God, something that they have that is missing in their life? What is the purpose that they have that I don't have? Sometimes it's just as simple as something in your pocket making a noise. Sometimes it's just as simple as living a joyful life for the Lord on a consistent, regular basis. That day, having to give up that piece of peppermint to one of those kids led to me having a bag of peppermints every single Sunday going forward. Dear friends, if we make a difference, if we live out our faith, and people know that we have faith in God, that we have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to glorify and live the Lord Jesus, we will get the attention of others. We will get the attention of the lost. We might even get the attention of some struggling Christians that need a little purpose themselves and understand that I'm not the only one doing this or in this. You see, the world says, show me, and I will believe. Jesus says, believe in me, and I will show you. Faith in God defeats a lack of purpose. A Christian is a child of God, and the purpose of every believer is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Bible tells us, wherefore, therefore, you eat or drink, do whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our life has meaning. It has purpose. It is not a waste, and we should not waste the time and the moments that God has given us. Those precious times, we should make the best of it and demonstrate our faith in God. We are to strive to do His will for our life, whatever that may be. We have a purpose, and it is to tell others about His saving grace. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Dear friends, our purpose is to point others to God and to serve Him with all our hearts. We are to live our lives with eternity in view. How are we doing? How are we doing? How is our faith in God? Next week, it's not a big stadium, but it's pretty big. 67,000, 68,000, maybe more on the outskirts. It may run up to 78,000. will crowd in and around Cardinal Stadium for a farewell for Mr. Kirk. I trust and pray the gospel will be given out. How many more countless millions will maybe view on TV? I don't know. But I do know this. There are those that are there that make a decision for Christ and give their lives for Christ. They will going to be looking for someone to follow. They're going to be looking for someone who's already seasoned, that's already there, that's already doing the job, that's already serving the Lord. They're going to think in their mind, yes, I remember my neighbor, I remember my friend, my job colleague, my work colleague. They said they were a believer. I made a decision today. I need to talk to them at work on Monday morning. That's my prayer. That's my hope. Are we going to have and live such a life of having faith in God that those who may make that decision next week, those who may make it there live or in a stadium there or somewhere else via satellite or television, are they going to be looking for an example? Because how are they going to face, how are they going to point to, how are they going to disciple and send out 68, 78,000 people and more into what church are they going to send them to? We need to make sure that we're here. We need to make sure that we're living in such a way that they will notice or they will call into remembrance of their friend or their neighbor or their work colleague that says they're a Christian. I made a decision today. Now what do I do next? How do I grow? How do I become a better Christian? Where do I worship? What do I do? Our purpose, again, is to point others to God and to serve Him with all of our hearts, to encourage and mentor younger believers. We're to live our lives with eternity in view. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Beloved, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Don't throw away eternal blessings for the sinful thrills of the day. Dear friend, you are going to spend eternity somewhere. Like I said in the beginning, you don't have to go to heaven, you don't have to go to hell, but you have to go somewhere when Jesus returns or when you take that last breath. What will your choice be? I hope you choose to go to heaven by trusting Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you've never repented of your sins and looked to the Savior, I encourage you today to talk to someone, to come and let me speak with you in just a moment as we pray to show you how you can know where you'll spend eternity. And dear friend, if you're here and you're a believer, let me ask again, do you have faith in God? Is there room for improvement? Is your faith in God, yes, it means a home in heaven, but is your faith in God growing in a relationship with Him? How well do you know Him? How close do you walk with Him? How well do you know Him through your prayer life and through your Bible study? Do you know Him better than you know your spouse? Do you know Him better than you know your closest friend because of your time that you spend with Him? And dear friends, faith in God will lead to a purpose of living. Are we fulfilling that purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus, glorifying the Savior, and being faithful to God? Dear friend, have faith in God. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. We'll have a word of prayer. If I can be a help to you in any shape, form, or fashion, I'm here, hungry, ready to serve you, to help you in any way that I can. But if I can have just a moment as our pianist begins to play, no one's looking around, just me. I'd like to pray for you. Maybe there's someone here today and there's no one looking but me. You just simply slip your hand up and down and say, preacher, I don't have faith in God. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. This is some things that I've heard before, I'm not sure of, but I have an interest, but I just don't know where I would spend eternity. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, I'll just slip your hand up and down. I won't go to you. I won't pull you aside. I just want to pray for you. God knows who you are. And then I'll ask this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, Christian. I'm just simply going to ask you, do you have faith in God? Do you have the right kind of faith? Are you exercising your purpose and your faith in God? Are you doing those things which you know that you should be doing as a believer? Yes, your faith leads to a home in heaven. But how is your relationship because of your faith? Is it where it needs to be? Is there room for improvement? Have faith in God leads, as I've mentioned already, purpose. What What is your purpose? How are you living? How are you serving? How is God using you in your life? You talk to God about those things and respond. Father, you know their needs that are represented today. I pray that you speak to the hearts of your children today. Pray there's anyone here today that's not sure about their salvation, that they would get that settled today. That Christian who is struggling in their walk and in their relationship would strive to make things better. Father, do a work that only you can do, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed for a moment as our pianist plays. If God has spoken to your heart, where you stand or here at an old-fashioned altar, why not come and pray? If you'd like somebody to pray with you, just let me know. I'll meet you up front and pray with you. But you do as the Lord leads this morning. As a believer, we are to serve, to live, to praise Him, to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might, until He calls us home. We may not be able to do as much as we used to, but we can do something. We can pray, we can serve, we can mentor, we can be involved, we can be used to serve Him. Are you doing your part? So minds are clear, you can look this way. I've done something today for the first time in my life. I've finished at 11 o'clock on the dot. I've never done that. Never. When back on the East Coast, when the service used to start at 11, we ended at 12, I didn't do it then either. Yeah, we did start a little bit early. But I just want to let you know, I'm not going to make it a habit. No. But as always, God loves you, and this preacher loves you. If I could be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I'm going to make my way back to the back with my sweet wife and greet some folks as you come out. If I can be helped to you again, I really mean that with all my heart. Please don't hesitate to ask any questions about the church. Just ask and do me a favor. On your way out, kids or no kids in the nursery, let somebody know you appreciate their labors of love and working with the children, working in the nursery, so they're not in here running around and crying and making noise. Thank a parking lot security guy for making sure your car is not being broken into. God's good to us. Amen? I'm grateful for those who have a heart and a desire to serve. And speaking of serving, if you'd like to get more involved, whether it be the nursery or children's church or security team, please don't hesitate to ask. I'll point you in the right direction. Brother Smith, why don't you wave your hand over there? He's the head of ushers and security. If you talk to him, I'm sure he'll be glad to put you to work and how you can minister in that area. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back. Brother Sam Hagedorn, would you lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, please?